Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That was good preaching. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. How are we doing back there? It's good to be here tonight. Good to see you again. Some of you have come back from repeats. Must be the program was pretty good so far then, huh? By special request, I've been asked to find out how many people have Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Somebody came up and said, "Now, Brother Brent, how come you don't ask if we see your Bible? Aren't you interested we have our Bibles?" I'm interested. You got your Bibles?
Amen.
I thank God you got a Bible. Do you read your Bible?
Amen.
Now, that's even better. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. Did you have any doubts? Some of you caught on. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Let's stand and pray. God in heaven, we are thankful that you have given us your word. Through it we find faith. By faith we find you. And Lord, we're thankful that you died on the cross. You sent your Son, who died in our place and rose again the third day, to ever and see, ever, forever, and see, intercede for us. We're thankful for that salvation. We're grateful for that love that you bestowed. And God, our prayer tonight is that your will be done in our lives. Lord, we serve you and we love you because you first loved us. We want to do great things for you. Bind the devil. Let him not have the victory in any way, shape, or form. Use me for your glory and for your honor. Answer the prayers that have been prayed in this place. That is our desire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. If you know me, then you know that I want to do great things for God. It was mentioned the other night that Brother Brent, he likes to pray big things. And God help me if I've gotten away from that. Because I do not want to do little things for God. I want to do great things for God. If that appears little in the eyes of men, what is that to me? If it's great in the eyes of God. You see, I don't want the meeting to be a waste. I don't want your life to be a waste. I don't want your marriage to be a waste. I don't want this church to be a waste. I surely don't want my life to be a waste. I don't want the lives of my children to be a waste. I made a decision a long time ago in reading the Bible many times through that I don't understand a lot of things in the Bible. And there's a good possibility that I'm probably going to go to judgment still not understanding a lot of things in the Bible. But there are some things that I did understand. And those are very important things. And those are the things that I want to emphasize and I want to do in my life. I don't know that it's going to matter all that much whether we can actually understand all of Ezekiel. I've been reading that book for a long time. I still don't understand that book. And if you got some insights, I'm glad to hear them. But you know, in this chapter, in this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13, I hope you're not superstitious. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, we find something. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, that might not be a great thing if the comparison was something that was, you know, not so great. But he just said, now abideth faith. That's pretty big in God's eyes. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you know that without faith, you cannot live? There's not a day goes by that you don't exercise some sort of faith. You get on an airplane, that's faith. And boy, you get on someplace, I know some mechanics. that work at the airfield, and some of you exercise great faith by getting on those planes that those mechanics were working on. I've heard some stories that make your blood curl. I don't want to scare you about flying, and I'm not going to tell you which airline. But that requires faith. I've been on many a plane, and I never saw the pilot. Never did. But I know he's there. That's faith. Do you know many of you have transactions? You do transactions on the internet? How many of you have done that? You bought something on the internet? Oh, you wicked people, you have the internet? TV too. TV too? Oh, my. Oh, brother. Did you call that number on the TV and say, I need to order that? A guy takes your order, he doesn't know you, you're sitting on a screen somewhere and he's in India, and he's going to tell somebody in Alaska to send you a product. That's all based on faith. Faith. Hope. Charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, if you've exercised yourself in faith, that would be a great thing. And if you've exercised yourself in hope, I would say that's a great thing that you got some insights that a lot of people in the world missed. And you are to be congratulated. You are to be exhorted and thanked for what you're doing. Yes, those are great things. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, if God says it's the greatest, well, that settles it. God says that's the greatest. He's made a determination. The greatest thing in my eyes is charity. And so, brothers and sisters, forgive me. My emphasis is not Ezekiel. That's not my gift. That's not my target. My target are the great things of God. I don't want to neglect Ezekiel, but there is a priority. Do you understand me? If I understood this chapter, I could come to understand and have all knowledge of charity and have all knowledge of Ezekiel, understand all the prophecies and everything that's going to happen there. But at the end of the day, if I didn't have charity in the eyes of God, I failed. Did I get the sense of this chapter? Do you know the first time the word charity is mentioned in our Bible? In our English Bible? Anybody have any idea? The first time the word charity is mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It's worth looking up. Look at that little phrase down there in that verse. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. I like to be around people that understand the Word of God. I like to be around people that can teach me things out of the Word of God. That's a blessing to me. It truly is. I like to be around people that are smarter than me when it comes to the Word of God. They can show me some things. I like that. I like to learn. I've struggled over some verses that I didn't understand. I have gone to a brother, I've listened to a sermon, or I stumbled across a commentary, and they gave me some insight into the Word of God. That is a blessing. But I've been around some people, their heads are so puffed up because of the knowledge they got, that they can't edify anybody. I think you ought to look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. You've heard this quoted during the week. That's in the Old Testament, in case you're wondering. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Now, aren't you interested in what the Lord requires of us? Wouldn't that be high on the priority list? What does God require of us? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What is the first and great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul and all thy strength. I think the idea is everything you got. Look at Micah in chapter 6 and verse 8. I'm glad you got your Bibles. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. God has told us what He requires of us. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul said, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. It seems to me that God has some plans for those that love Him. Such plans that it appears to me that I'm not going to be able to explain it. God has some intentions for our lives if we're willing to love Him. Aren't you interested in that? How many of you as a young man or a young woman had your father, your mother, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or a grandfather say, I've got something for you. And then with anticipation, you're waiting all day. What do I got to do to get it? God has something for us. What do we got to do to get it? Love Him. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The greatest of these is charity. It seems to me that ought to be the emphasis in our ministries. Charity. It seems to me that charity ought to be everywhere we go. In everything we do. When we preach, we ought to bring charity with us. When we go to visit someone in the hospital, we ought to bring charity with us. Charity ought to be our motivation, our desire. Listen to what it says about charity in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That's not good. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you believe that? Have you ever read this passage where it did not cause you to pause? It seems when I read this passage, there are certain words within it that jump out to me and make me stop and pause and consider, what am I doing? Because I'm a zealot for the Lord. I'm hungering after God. I want to do the will of God. Some people say I'm like a Peter. I'm always running in here and there. Yeah, maybe so. But I like Peter. I like Peter. And I know that Peter loved the Lord, but he made a lot of mistakes. Janice and I ran off to Mexico 23 years ago. 13 years ago, we went to Poland. Somebody says, oh, what great sacrifices. And yet, when I read this, it makes me pause and wonder, Lord, is it for nothing? Have I done these things with charity? Is that what it says? And though I have the gift of prophecy, like Ezekiel, and understand all mysteries, like John, and all knowledge, like Paul, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Now, how many people prayed that prayer? Oh, God, I want enough faith to move a mountain. I think we used to have a song around here about moving mountains. And I want that mountain. But though I could... Now, you would say that'd be a great guy that could do all those things, wouldn't you? Prophesy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, have all faith so that you could remove mountains. Wouldn't you like to be around a guy like that? Boy, I'd like to meet somebody like that. But there it is. And have not charity. Three little words. I am nothing. That's piercing. That's piercing. To think a man could give up his family, his nation, and go to a foreign country and suffer abuse and suffer unspeakable things, and at the end of the day, when God does the calculation, He said, zero. Oh God, help me to have charity. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, are you listening? Though I give my body to be burned, the great heroes of the faith, we think about them burning at the stake. Just the mere thought, how could they ever do it without charity? How could they ever do it without a love for God? And yet, He says here, though I do this, I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. No man invests in anything to profit nothing. You invest to gain. We're investing our lives, are we not? Are you? I'm investing my life. I made some decisions. I took a look by faith and I had some faith and I said, yes, this is an investment. This is an investment in something that is not going to be corruptible. This is a step of faith. And yet God says here, I can take that step of faith and do it without charity. It has no profit. Woe is me. Woe is me if I invest everything I got and at the end of the day, God says, you did it all without charity. We want revival. Every one of us want revival. That's the desire of our heart. We want God's will to be done in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our homes, in our families, in the lives of our children. We want God to move. And He gives us a chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And He says, remember charity. Because you can do all these things. And if you do it without charity, you're nothing. It profiteth nothing. Somebody once said, I have seen charity thrown to a poor man as a bone is thrown to a dog. And there was no love in it. It is not enough for you to say you do not hate your neighbor. You are to love him. I think we talked about that the other night. The religions of the world, they work on not hating. You can be a good religious man. I don't care what denomination. I don't care what branch of religion. You can be a very good religious man and not hate. But the command of our Lord is so much more than that. It's to love. And you understand how hard it is sometimes not to hate. And so how quickly we're moved to vengeance and to hatred and envy and strife. And so a person that can overcome those things, we would think, wow, that's something. But God's command is so much greater than that. What is charity? Charity is one of those words you really have a hard time defining, but you know it when you see it. I did not grow up in a very loving family, so love is a concept that's strange to me. And then one day I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I met my wife. And I met you. And then I began to understand. Still not able to explain it, but be able to say, I've seen it. I know when I see it. But he says here, charity suffereth long. Do you suffer people? Do you put up with people? Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. So any definition that we have of charity is going to include these things. Would you agree? Charity suffers long and charity is kind. So the question I ask myself, do I suffer long? Am I kind? Are you kind? Do you suffer long? Are you kind to your neighbor? Are you kind to your boss? Are you kind to your wife? Are you kind to your husband? Are you kind to your pastor? Maybe I haven't hit the mark yet. Are you kind to that man that just passed you? Are you suffering long with him? You know, the one that passed you and then cut in and hit the brakes? That one. That's the one I'm talking about. You know, the one that you were waiting patiently for that parking spot and he pulled in? Before you got there, that's the guy that I'm talking about. Are you suffering long? You know, he's your neighbor. You say, he's my enemy. Jesus says, love your enemies. Yeah, but he did me wrong. How many times have you done Jesus wrong? Yeah, but he didn't have a right. Well, neither did you. Charity envieth not. I'm not aiming for your heads. I'm aiming for your heart. Do preachers envy? Boy, look at that ministry over there. Boy, look how successful they were. I'm speaking from experience. And he said, if I have not charity, I am nothing. And if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So the question is, do I envy? The question presented to you, do you envy? Are you envious? Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Oh, man, I am somebody. Look at me. You ever do that? You ever think that you're better than somebody else? You ever look down your nose at somebody else? You ever think, oh, they're just stupid and I'm smart. He's the idiot, I'm the wise one. He's the dummy, I'm the smart one. Are you getting the drift? It seems to me that any definition of charity and love is going to include that. And so if we begin to understand charity, we have to ask ourselves, to prove our own selves. Where do we stand in the eyes of God and His Word? Brother Mike Jackson, a long time ago, said, you know, some people, they want to measure with an elastic measuring thing. Boy, isn't that nice? I told my wife, I want you to buy me them pants that have the elastic in it. Then I can wear 34s for the rest of my life. And that's the kind of measuring stick that we delight in. We want to change the measuring stick, or we want to pick the measuring stick. But Jesus Christ has always been the measuring stick. And God is love. And the question we need to ask ourselves every day of our lives, how are we measuring up? Do we need to make some adjustments? Do we need to expand our belts a little bit? I did not come here to beat you on the head. I came here with a sincere desire to encourage you to do great things for God. In order to do great things for God, we're going to have charity. In order to do great things of God, we're going to have to understand that God has some priorities. And the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy mind, and all thy soul, and all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as thyself. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. You ever flunk a test? I feel like I'm flunking here. Thank God for the blood.
Amen.
Thank God for the promise that says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Is God's Word talking to you like God's Word is talking to me? That's why we're here. We're here to hear the words of God. And how's God talking to you? I'm not really interested in your neighbor. I'm interested in you right now. How's God talking to you? How are you doing on God's measurement here? Do you need to make some adjustments? Do you need to cry out for mercy? Do you need to cry out for some help? God, help me. That'd be the right thing to do. I've got this in bold, seeketh not her own. What if we just got a hold of that phrase right there? What if by determination that tomorrow or this day, the rest of this evening, I'm not going to seek my own, but another man's wealth. I'm not going to be interested in what benefits me. That my principal interest is, how can I help you? How can I benefit you? What can I do for another? And what can I do for God? I think that would bring revival in our hearts, wouldn't it? I know it would change our lives for sure. What if that was our principal goal in the morning? What can I do for another? We live in a selfish generation, even amongst Christians. You get some pastors and some elders and preachers around and you can hear some stories. You can hear some stories about selfish people. Not caring for the church. Christ gave Himself for the church, by the way. And so the question is, what are you doing for the church? If Christ loved the church, then what are you doing? Are you leaving the church? Are you leaving that which Christ loves? Are you dividing the church? Are you dividing that which Christ loves? Doesn't it behoove us, brothers and sisters, to find out what God loves? And immerse ourselves in those things? Or have I missed the mark? Am I off keel here? Is my bubble off center somehow? If it is, get me back on center. Seeketh not our own. Are you listening? Is not easily provoked. What does it take you to set you off? Don't talk to my wife. Janice, have mercy upon me. Is it the driver? Is it your boss? Is it your coworker? Is it the person sitting next to you? Is it their perfume or lack of perfume? Is it the color of their shirt? I mean, what is it that provokes you? Thinketh no evil. Why do we jump to conclusions? Why is it that we always suspect the worst? Even about godly people. Even about people that we love, we suspect the worst. I know why you didn't call me. I know exactly why you didn't call me. You didn't call me because you don't love me. You ever hear that? No, honey, the reason I didn't call you is because the guy at work ran over my phone. No, that can't be. I know why you didn't call me. You didn't call me because you don't care about me. Well, does that shoe fit? I got another one. Where's my dinner? I know why you didn't fix dinner. You're mad at me because I didn't call you. How's that shoe fit? Yeah, tight. And there it is, brothers and sisters. Dear saints of God, if we don't have these things, we are nothing. And what we do profits not. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Aren't you ashamed at how some things make you laugh? Aren't you ashamed? Have you ever been ashamed like me? You find yourself rejoicing and then you start thinking about, what am I rejoicing for this for? But rejoiceth in the truth. Can I pause here for a moment? Because I know we love the truth. His word is truth. And I know you love the truth. He is truth. He said, I am truth. And we love Him. And I hope you understand, if I do not articulate it correctly, the question I propose is this. Is charity more important than truth? I know we should always speak the truth in love. But you know, sometimes there's an over an overemphasis of all the true facts. And all the true facts are not necessary in every situation. Let me give you an example of what I'm speaking of. There was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. And there's not a man, woman, or child sitting here this evening that would say, no, adultery is okay. Every one of us understand that adultery is wrong. Every one of us understand that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God wrote it with His own finger in stone and passed it on to Moses. It's part of the Ten Commandments. People all around the world that are not Christians, they understand that God has said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the truth. And that truth needs to be preached. And yet, if I understand this, if we preach it without charity, I am nothing. And it does not profit. Do you remember that woman caught in the act of adultery? Did you notice that Jesus didn't heap a whole lot of truth on her? You know you ought to be dead. You know I'm going to get this stone and throw it at you because, you know, I'm without sin. Did he show a little charity? Doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible that charity should cover a multitude of sins? Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. And Jesus did not rejoice in iniquity. He said to that woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And yet I find myself, and I'm speaking from experience, and I'm convinced if I throw my stone and hit myself, I'm probably going to hit you. And yet my tendency when I read that story is I find myself in the sandals of the Pharisees. Have you ever found yourself there? I mean, the Bible does say thou shalt not commit adultery, and we caught her in the very act. It's not that they're, you know, we don't know. You know, it's not that we're just thinking evil. I mean, we've got her red-handed. And boy, we've got the stone and we're ready to throw. And yet, doesn't Jesus have a better way? Rejoicing in truth. He did not deny the truth. He did not ignore the truth. He let charity have her perfect way. And I'm sure charity was rejoicing. Not iniquity. But in truth. Do you remember when Jesus went to visit the publicans and sinners? Okay, just imagine somebody you don't like. You got a mental picture? I hope I'm not provoking you onto iniquity here. You know, thinketh no evil. He's eating with them, and he's not eating with you. You got that? You got that in your mind? He's eating with them, and he's not eating with you. He's drinking with them, and he's not drinking with you. And you don't like them. You think their doctrine's wrong. You think their life is wrong. You think what they do is wrong. You think their mommy and daddy were wrong. In fact, you can't think of anything right about them people, and Jesus is eating with them. And so you come questioning. Why is your master eating with them? And Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I came not to come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Go and learn what that means. I'm not too good at quoting anymore. Don't know why. Old age? I don't know. Polish language, I think. But I read this verse. I don't know how many times I read it in my life. But one day it just jumped out at me and grabbed hold of my heart and wouldn't let me go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Not that verse. And that's a great verse. The next one. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I got a vision of this verse one day in all practicality. It was a long time in Mexico, and boy, if you can get Bill and Michael up here, boy, they could tell you I preached some scorchers on idolatry. And charity was a long ways away. I mean, I was giving a full demonstration of mocking. I made old Elijah blush. One day a young woman, a young mother, come out after hearing the sermon, because I had a lot of truth in my message, and I was preaching the Word of God shamefully a lot of times without charity. God help me. And this young woman came out one day after a blistering sermon on idolatry. And thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, and thou shalt not bow down to them. And she came out weeping, and she's saying, "Are you saying that I don't have to walk to San Juan de los Lagos anymore? Are you saying that the Bible teaches that I don't have to do that, that I can call out to God from my home?" And that verse came to me in living color that day. Now, I still preach against idolatry. I still rejoice in truth, and I do not rejoice in iniquity. But I try to carry charity with me when I'm preaching. Amen. He says, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn. And I did an evaluation of my ministry and my messages. And I haven't always hit the mark since then. God help me. But it has been my intention. Not with the intention of condemning. I don't want that to be my motive. Spurgeon said, if you must condemn, and some people must be condemned, justice demands it and righteousness demands it, but if you must condemn, let there be a tear in your eye. Jesus talked about judgment. And He said, we're going to be judged in the manner that we judge. God help us if we judge people without mercy. Amen. Do you got that point? Did you capture it? Does it go down into your heart? But rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Have you ever been a failure? Have you ever failed? Here's a promise. Charity never fails. You want a successful ministry? Charity never fails. Hey, I've got a new idea. I've got an old idea. Charity never fails. Wise man, you've heard it preached in this hall many a times. If I'm going to make a mistake in judgment, I'm going to make it on the side of grace. I'm going to give too much grace. Can I rephrase that saying just a little bit? With all the wisdom that is compacted in that sentence. If we're going to make a mistake, let's make it on the side of charity. If we have to choose between too much judgment and too much charity, let's choose too much charity. Let's go to the judgment seat of Christ, and if we be judged, let it be said that we had too much charity. And I just can't fathom how that would be. I can understand the other side. I just can't... No, it's possible. But I just can't fathom that the Lord would somehow reprove us for giving too much charity after He said we should abound in charity and let charity increase more and more and increase in charity and be fervent in charity. But charity's hard. It's not easy. And we're warriors, but not warriors where we bring death and destruction. We're warriors of charity. Quick verses. The command is, above all things, put on charity. I've seen some people putting on some strange things in my life while they're driving. Have you seen that? Boy, they put on some strange things. How about putting on some charity? He commands us in 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 22. He says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. That's good. Faith. That's good. Charity. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Every one of us are following something. May I recommend charity? He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. Should we not be examples? Did not Christ say that we are the light now? We're the lights in the world. Should we not be the example? Should not our lives encourage people to come to Christ? Should not our lives be a beacon in a dark and stormy night for the wayward sailor? Should they not say, there's a light? Cannot some of you stand and testify at this very evening and say, I'm a Christian because I saw another that had charity? And they lived their faith. And they were real Christians. And that's why I'm a believer. Because you saw the light in them. Be an example. In Titus in chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, and the aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity. Boy, we put a lot of emphasis about having sound doctrine. I think that's good. But if I understood 1 Corinthians chapter 13, being sound in charity is so much greater. I'm not saying neglect the other. I'm not saying, you know, the other is bad. I'm saying that charity is so much better. Janice sometimes says, don't you like the food that I prepared you? No, I like it. But I like the ice cream in the freezer a whole lot better. You're not going to eat ice cream for breakfast again, are you? Yes, I am, because it's good. It's got all them ingredients that you got on that plate over there. Eggs and butter and all. Everything I need. Peter said, and above all things. Did you hear that? All things sort of includes a lot of things, doesn't it? Above all things, he says. Did you hear that? He said, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Amen. Why? Because charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what we can do with charity? We can overcome a whole lot of sins. Yeah, when you provoke me, just pour some charity on it. Yeah, when you did me wrong, just pour a little charity on it.
Yeah, when you betrayed me, just pour some charity on it. I'm telling you that God said, above all things, have fervent charity. For it will cover a multitude of sins. You and I need charity. San Antonio needs charity. Mexico needs charity. Poland needs charity. We need more of it. But it's hard to love, isn't it? Try it sometime. It's hard. It's hard to suffer long when you don't want to suffer at all. It's hard to bear when you don't want to bear it. It's hard to rejoice when you don't want to rejoice. You don't want to face the truth. It's hard to be kind when people aren't kind to you. Why is it that natural tendency within us, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth? Why does it bear its ugly head when we're in our relationship with our wives and our husbands? You did me wrong, so I'm going to do you wrong. Why does it come out and expose itself on Luke 4:10 and Luke 16:04 and all the other highways around San Antonio? You got me? I'm getting you, bud. Here we go. Spurgeon said this, it's hard to love. And he said this, he said, so much the more room for heroism. Wouldst thou be some featherbed warrior instead of bearing the rough fight of love? Sir, he who dares the most shall win the most. And if rough be thy path of love, tread it boldly and still on, loving thy neighbors through thick and thin. Heap coals of fire on their heads if they be hard to please. Seek not to please them, but to please thy master. And remember, if they spurn thy love, thy master hath not spurned it. And thy deed is as acceptable to him as if it had been acceptable to them. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is it unreasonable of God to require of us charity? It's not that He did not give us an example. I mean, it's sometimes very hard to take instruction from somebody that is not exactly giving a good example. I recall my beloved mother, son, you should not smoke. I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, that was really hard to understand that concept. Yeah. But did Jesus give us a bad example? Did He suffer wrongfully? I found that it's very easy to be humble when you're weak. That guy's bigger than you are. I mean, he's 7 foot tall and weighs 350 pounds. Yeah, it's real easy to concede the point to him even when you know he's wrong. But when you're the 7-footer, then things turn around. Hey, I have my rights. Jesus had His rights on the cross of Calvary. And He gave us an example. Spurgeon had another quote. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Self. Self. Listen up. Self. Love thy neighbor, for then thy neighbor will love thee. Self. Are you listening? Help thy neighbor, for then thy neighbor will help thee. Make of thyself, O self, friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when thou fairest, they may receive thee into abiding habitations. Self, thou wantest ease, make thyself easy by treating everybody well. Self, thou wantest pleasure, thou canst get no pleasure if those around thee hate thee. Make them to love thee. Dear self, and so that shall love bless thyself. Aye, even if you are selfish, I would you were so preeminently selfish and so wisely selfish that you would love others to make yourself happy.
A lot of truth in that. I mean, if there is no God and there is no commandment, doesn't love and charity help a lot of things? But there is a God. And you believe in that God. And I believe in that God. And we believe in that God. And there is a commandment. It's the first and great commandment. It behooves us to give all our energy and all our soul and all our mind to exercise ourselves in charity and love for God and love for our neighbors. You made a sacrifice coming here. It costs you something. It costs you money for gasoline. It costs you your time and your pleasures. You sacrifice that. That sacrifice has already been made. It's already done. It's already written in the record books of heaven. But if you made that sacrifice without charity, it was for naught. Some of you made greater sacrifices than coming to a meeting. Greater sacrifices than $3.79 for a gallon of gas. But if you did it without charity, he says, zero. Nothing. That scares me. That causes me to pause and to evaluate the things that I'm doing for Christ. That causes me to pause and consider how I treat my wife, how I treat my husband. That causes me to consider how I treat you and the things that I do. That causes me to consider how I drive and how I behave myself on the job. What I do in the store. Because, brothers and sisters, there's a desire in my heart to give it all for God. And if I read this text, and I think we've got an understanding of it, that we can give our all for God. But if we forget charity, if we left charity at the door, then it'll be for naught. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sacrificing for naught. It's not my game plan to end up God saying, you are nothing. That's not my game plan. My game plan is when I stand before our Lord and Savior and He asks that question, lovest thou me? I want the answer to be, Lord, you know that I love thee. Every head bowed and every eye closed.